In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and my Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We can begin our meditation this evening by turning to the passage in the Gospel that comes at Mass tomorrow from the 11th chapter of St. Matthew, where we read that Jesus began to reproach the towns in which most of his miracles had been worked because they refused to repent. And he says, "Alas for you, Chorazin, alas for you, Bethsaida, for if the miracles done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And Jesus also says, "As for you, Capernaum, did you want to be exalted as high as heaven? You shall be thrown down to hell. For if the miracles done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have been standing yet." So some pretty hard words for these towns that Jesus has spent quite a bit of time in, especially Capernaum or Capharnaum. And you know that some of the apostles were from Bethsaida, a village very close by. And so they get these harsh words addressed to them, these reproaches. And, well, I suppose we could think that we wouldn't really like to be on the end of a reproach from Jesus. We wouldn't like to have these harsh words addressed to us. And so as we are here praying in front of you, Lord, we might say, "Well, what would your words be to me?" As a sort of summary of my attitude and my life and so on. And we know from the Gospels that all the different scenes that we have been reading about, praying about, trying to live in some way, we know that you can be very gentle at times. Very often you're very gentle, very kind, but you can also be very strong. And what we come to realize is it depends who you're talking to. And some people, of course, they seem to be very obstinate. They've had miracles done in front of their very eyes, and yet they deny that evidence. And so maybe you feel, well, the only way I can get through to them, through their obstinacy and through their stubbornness, is by speaking in a very strong, hard, direct way. And the thing is that Jesus says, "I know my own sheep and they know me." So he knows who he needs to speak to in a strong way. He knows who he can speak to in a gentle way, and they will respond to that gentleness. And we would hope that we are in that latter category, that Jesus doesn't have to come with this sort of hard language to us. And the thing is that he reads the hearts. He reads our hearts, and he can see what is going on. He can see the dispositions that we have within us. And this is very much part of our faith, of the virtue of faith, is not simply an intellectual disposition to believe, which of course, you know, is absolutely vital and fundamental, but it's also the disposition to act on that belief. So it involves not simply the mind, but it involves the heart or the will as well. And so we've begun this time of prayer, this meditation, by saying, I firmly believe that you are here. But we're not just saying it as a sort of abstract proposition. We're saying, I firmly believe that you are here, and because I firmly believe it, I place myself at your disposal. So I come along with that attitude of faith, but as part of that, there is also hope, there's also charity, there's love, and we come to see that believing is loving. And this is what we hope that our Lord detects in our hearts, that although we make many mistakes and we have many failures, he sees that we want to lead a good life and we want to be faithful. And so we needn't fear that harsh reproach coming our way. There's no need to fear a reproach if it's clear that there is a disposition to change. And the very fact that we're here now, the very fact that we place ourselves in the presence of God is an indication that we want to be better, we want to be closer to God, and we want to conform our lives more to what he's asking of us. And this despite our many fallings and failings and our sins and our weakness and so on, that nevertheless we have that disposition to improve and to do better. And we can often say that aspiration, that response that Peter gave to our Lord after the resurrection, when Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And the third time, Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. So you see deep down the fundamental disposition that I have in my heart that might not be reflected in practice, and because I seem to fail on so many occasions and not to put into practice what I resolve to do. But you see that deep down I do have a desire to respond as I should. And although my weaknesses often hold me back or weigh me down, nevertheless, with your grace, I can always get up, I can start again, I can start to take one step at a time. Now, I've brought along here a very helpful book. It's a relatively brief book, and it's by Joseph Tissot. It's called How to Profit from Your Faults. And what it does is to bring a lot of the reflections of St. Francis de Sales, or Francis de Sales, if you want to sound posh. But anyway, St. Francis de Sales, who has some very encouraging things, really, and very perhaps soothing things to say in the face of the reality of our failures and our weakness and our tendency, or maybe the tendency on the part of many people, to lament, you know, how badly I do things and so on. And he says, yes, human misery, how we are set about by weakness. What else can be looked for in us, but faults? But then he goes on to say, that isn't it generally true that no saint could become so holy had he not always been subject to imperfections? So all the saints, with the exclusion, of course, of Our Lady, but all the saints have had to contend with imperfections. And I mean, it's possible that St. John the Baptist, maybe that when Mary met Elizabeth and the child leapt in the womb of Elizabeth, maybe that was a special gift of a grace that would help him to fight from then on, not from the moment of his conception, as with the case of Our Lady, but maybe from that moment on, maybe he had that special privilege. But for most human beings, there's not such a privilege, and so we have to contend with the reality of our failings, and the great saints have all had to face that. And St. Francis de Sales says, isn't it generally true that no saint could become so holy had he not always been subject to imperfections? Had there not been that need to acknowledge, you know, my weakness, my failure, my need to rely on grace, my need to get up again and again and again and keep going and not lose heart? The saints wouldn't have been so holy if they didn't have that struggle. So we could say that it's actually part of the mercy of God that we experience our failures and our weaknesses. And in some way, we can say that actually it's a good sign that we are aware of it, because someone who is distant from God, they can think, I don't do anything wrong. I mean, you notice it if you meet someone who perhaps was brought up as a Catholic and just drifted away, and maybe for decades they drift away from the faith. And if you happen to raise the topic of confession and starting again, they might say, but I've got nothing to confess, I don't do anything wrong. You know, you get so distant from God that you lose the sense of right and wrong, really. So the fact that we're conscious of our failures is a sign that we have a certain proximity to God. So it is a good sign in itself. And the whole point of what St. Francis is saying here is that we should not get upset at this. We should not get despondent at this reality. And that is the danger that he's constantly warning us against. Let us imagine that while we are in this life, we can live without imperfection. Sorry, he says, let us not imagine this, because this is simply not possible, whether we are superior or inferior, since all of us are human. And this is a truth of which we all have to be convinced in order not to be astonished to see ourselves subject to such perfections. And he says how our Lord tells us to say every day in the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. This command admits of no exception. So forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us the things that we do wrong. All of us need to make this same daily petition. So we can't live without imperfection. And so it's part of our spiritual life to be patient. To be patient with ourselves, really. Not to be dismayed all the time that we find, you know, that things don't work as we hope they would do, that our resolutions are broken quite easily, or that we fall in some area where we thought we didn't have a problem, to become perturbed and dismayed when one falls into sin is not to know oneself. You know, so if we say, oh, you know, how could I have done such a thing? Well, we're all capable of the most terrible things, really, and the wonder, I suppose, is that we're not falling into them all the time, because we are helped by grace. So we need to be patient and not try to banish in one short day the many evil habits we have acquired in our life as a result of the lack of care we have taken of our spiritual health. And St. John Chrysostom says that in the battle, well, the soldiers get wounded, and you know, but they get wounded because they're out there fighting, they're on the front line, and the only way not to get wounded is not to go into battle, you know, just to stay so far back that you're not actually fighting. But you know, the spiritual life is a fight, and there are going to be wounds, there are going to be casualties, but this is all part and parcel of the advance. And so when we are conscious of our failings, then there's what the saints call or distinguish between a good kind of sorrow and a bad kind of sorrow. So sorrow for our sins, a sorrow that makes us want to improve, is the good sorrow. But the sorrow that makes us kind of be filled with self-pity and kind of wallowing in our failure and lamenting and feeling sorry for ourselves is a bad sorrow and a self-centered one. And St. Francis says that sorrow can either be good or evil depending on how it affects us. It produces more bad effects than good, for it has only two good effects, namely compassion and repentance. But it has six evil effects, namely anxiety, sloth, wrath, jealousy, envy, and impatience. So the two good streams that flow from sorrow, and there are six that are evil. So we need to try and embrace the good sorrow that leads to a positive reaction. The good sorrow that says, Lord, I've failed, but you know me, you know all things, and so help me to begin again. Let's make progress together, Lord. I'm like, you know, one of these old cars that kind of chugs along, conks out again, but you know, it's going to get started, and we will start the car again, and it will chug along a bit more, and so on. We're not going to think, oh, this car is complete rubbish, and we should just throw it off the cliff or something, you know. No, it's going to get there, it's going to get there. So the danger that we're constantly warned about is of self-pity, because it leads to a kind of lukewarmness, really. It makes us think, well, what's the point? You know, I've made the same resolution 100 times, you know, to be kind to this person, or to get up on time, or to finish this thing off, or whatever it is, or to get my spiritual reading under control. You know, we make these resolutions, and then we find very often that we fail. Or we're trying to be patient, and we find ourselves getting snappy and ratty and things, and we come along very often to confession and maybe say the same sort of things week after week, or whatever period of time we go to confession. But the point is that we're not to sort of think, well, it's useless. What's the point? Well, there's a great point, because you know, each time we are actually making progress, each time we begin again. And the bad reaction is just to give in, and then we settle into lukewarmness. So to stay calm, this is one of the big points that St. Francis is making, to stay calm. Why do birds and animals remain entrapped in their nets? Because when they have entered them, they get nervous. They flounder about in an unorganized way. And this makes them increasingly entangled. If we fall into the net of our imperfections, we will not escape from them if we get flustered. We will, on the contrary, entangle ourselves even more. So patience then, and calm, and trying not to lose our peace when we see that we are so slow at making progress in the virtues. So we might make a resolution, for example, in this or that particular aspect, some virtue that I would like to grow in, some aspect of the spiritual life I would like to improve in. But if we think of, if someone decides to try and get fit from a physical point of view, then, well, they need to choose a regime that is proportionate to their situation. And if they say, well, I'm going to try and improve in everything at once, and I want to build up all the muscles in my body, and I want to be, you know, become strong, and I want to become flexible and supple, and I want to, you know, and well, I mean, it's just completely ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, they might try some exercises for one day and then give up. So they've got to find something practical. I remember once someone who said, I begin the day with exercises, up, down, and then I move to the other eyelid. So, you know, pretty small beginning. Maybe we could be a bit more ambitious than that. But in the spiritual life, it is a question of being specific and, you know, not trying to be proud, I suppose, you know, think I'm going to sort all these things out. So, you know, there are many areas, I suppose, where we feel we could improve in my life of prayer, in my mortification, my self-denial, in the way I use my time, in the way I practice charity, in the way I do apostolate, in the way I look after my sight, and so on. So many things that perhaps we could identify, but it would be very wrong to say, well, I'm going to improve in all of them straight away. They are all important, but, you know, I should just make one resolution, really, to say, for example, well, in my prayer, I'm going to put my phone on flight mode, or something, you know, something very definite. Or I'm going to start my work, or I'm going to stop my work at a set time. And that's going to be my resolution for a while, and I'm going to work on that. And that is actually going to help all the other things as well. It's going to help my prayer, my self-denial, my mortification, my apostolate, my charity. It's going to help, because the spiritual life is one. It's organic. So if there's an improvement in one area, it does actually bring improvement in the other areas, but it's got to be focused on something small. And, you know, we need that humility. The humility that, you remember in the Old Testament, Naaman, the Syrian, the general from Syria, who had leprosy, and he went and to the prophet in Israel to be cured. And the prophet said, well, go down and bathe in the local river. seven times. And he got very shirty about this and thought, well, I thought he was going to ask me for something very difficult to do. Why should I bathe in this little trickle of a river when we've got much better rivers back home? And his servant said, well, if he had asked you for something big, you would have done it, so why not do this little thing? And he said, actually, you're quite right. And he went and he did it, and his flesh was healed straight away and became smooth as that of a little baby. So, you know, we need to be humble in our resolutions, really, something small but specific, what we sometimes refer to as the particular examination, a very definite point of struggle, something quite definite, and it can be something quite small. So the important thing, as St. Francis says, St. Francis de Sales says, is try and prepare your soul for calm. From the early morning, prepare for calm. In the course of the day, try to recall this calm frequently. If you have some frustration, do not react, but without losing sight of it, humiliate yourself serenely before God and try to recover the serenity of your spirit. Tell your soul, forward, we have taken a wrong step. Let us go ahead slowly and carefully. And every time you fall, do the same. And he gives a bit of his own approach, his own experience when he falls, and he doesn't sort of get worked up at himself and insult himself, but he says, alas, my poor heart, here we are, fallen into the pit we were so firmly resolved to avoid. Well, we must get up again and leave it forever. We must call on God's mercy and hope that it will help us to be steadier in the days to come. Let us start out again on the way of humility. Let us be of good heart, and from this day, be more on guard. God will help us. We will do better. Well, you remember in the Gospels when Jesus appears to the disciples who really have done very wrong in abandoning him, and in the case of Peter, denying him. And he appears to them after the resurrection. And the first thing that he says to them is, peace be with you. And in the Mass each day, there's that prayer of peace, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. These are the dispositions that our Lord wants us to have as we undertake the battle of each day, the battles of each day against our weakness and the battles to improve in this or that virtue, to do so in peace, the peace that comes from knowing that we are children of God the Father, and that he's always going to give us his grace, his mercy, his compassion, his forgiveness. Well, we can finish the meditation now and turn to Our Lady. And we have, of course, in the central house of Opus Dei, there's the Church of Our Lady of Peace, which has some swords in a case at the back, a showcase at the back. And those swords are to remind us that peace comes as a result of a battle, but a specific battle, really, a specific battle on a specific point. I suppose, like a sword pointing at some specific thing that it's attacking. Well, we can ask Our Lady to help us to identify something in our life, in our spiritual life, that we can work on, and with the grace that she obtains for us, and with the confidence of our Lord's mercy and forgiveness, we can go about making progress. And if we fail, we say, well, we've fallen, Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you, and with your help, I can just get up and continue onwards.
I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.